Blog Talk Radio.
When I think of the good and the dark Jesus and all he's done for me, you know my soul cries out, hallelujah, oh Lord. And I thank God for saving and then me. Let me say it again. When I think of the good and the dark Jesus
This song says, God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunch anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and His grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy. And your grace that kept me.
witness in here.
So I wouldn't let go.
I almost gave up.
I was right at the edge of the breakthrough, but couldn't see. The devil really had me, but Jesus came and grabbed me, and He helped me grow. So I wouldn't let go.
God's mercy kept me.
God's mercy.
Can I get a witness in here that knows about God's grace? So I'm here today. Somebody next to him. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.
I almost let go.
That helps the lost and the hopeless to find their way to Jesus. And I am so delighted in coming once again by the mercy and the grace of God to share the word of God with each of you. And I didn't come on last week. I had doctor's appointments for my transplant workup. And if you all don't mind, continue to pray for me. And with all of that being said, I'm excited about teaching the Word of God. I'm really excited about us studying and learning together, because it is so important to study to study the Word and to get revelation and knowledge and be fruitful so that we can increase, elevate, and promote in the kingdom of God. So we can also reap the benefits and be harvesters of all the blessings of the earth. And there is always a message in the Word of God. We just have to listen attentively to His voice. And I thank God for this day, and I thank God for each of you that's joining with me on tonight. I thank those that's on the phone lines. I thank that person that's in the chat room. And however else you are listening, I thank you. May God bless you. I appreciate you, because I could not do this without you. So I welcome each of you, and it is my prayer and desire that you be blessed from this word on tonight. And we must always stay connected and seek God at all times. And I cannot stress it enough. We need to pray without ceasing, arming ourselves with the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to play one more song, and then we're going to get into the Word. yo for that song. That song you heard was Anoint Me, Lord, like I say, by the artist of the name of Vicky Yoey. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to get into the word. I thank you so much for your patience, and I'm just so thankful. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come humbly before you this day to bring forth your word. Lord, let your word bring increased knowledge and revelation to us. I decrease in my flesh that it will yield to your word. Let this word penetrate our spirit, soul, and mind, that we may live according to your command. I pray that the atmosphere will be filled with your Holy Spirit and set us free from this obstruction and the divisiveness of the enemy. Our ears will hear and minds will share and catch the vision of the plans that you have for us. I count any assignment of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, that your word will go forth and bless our souls in the areas that we are weak, that we may be delivered right at the moment, that your word penetrates in our hearts, that we will stand for you. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, amen. Our scripture reading is going to come from Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself highly, more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another. What I want to talk about tonight is subdue the flesh, renew the mind. And I want to talk first about watching our pride, because there is a lot of pride in the body of Christ. I mean, a lot of pride. I see it every day. And there's a real danger as we grow in the Lord and become prideful. We start becoming separated from our walk, that we will develop some pretty bad habits. And one of the greatest dangers we face as we walk through this world is the sin of pride. In fact, pride is the very root of all sin. Well, someone may ask, how is that possible? Because pride puts me first. Notice that Paul's remarks are not given to an isolated few, but to all brethren. Because pride is a sin that will deal with that. We all deal with from time to time. Sometimes I might even try to encourage myself and say, oh, I preached a good sermon, but see, what I'm preaching is not for me. It's for those that's listening, and it is something that's supposed to help them to overcome things, to help them to be able to things in a different way or a brighter way. And as we look at verse 3, notice the challenge against pride that we are given. And I want to talk about two characteristics of pride. The first one is self-deception. In this scripture, it addresses that there are those that think more of themselves than they ought to think. We have many that look down on other believers. They gossip about others and backbiting and envy and jealousy and betraying one another. We have a lot of that go on in the body of Christ. And I know that it is the work of the enemy that's using those, that's weak in the flesh. That's why we got to subdue the flesh. And we got to renew our mind. And And maybe you got some that think that they ought to be holier than others or holier than thou, but they're not as holy as they think they ought to be, or maybe they tend to feel that their gifts are superior to others. Then you got some who want to be in control of the church activities. Please don't let someone new come into the church. They literally freak out like you're coming to take over their position. So what they do, they immediately start finding ways to come up on you to test your gifts or abilities and see where you at in the Lord. If the anointing or the gifts are stronger than theirs, then they start scheming to keep you from being discovered. They start trying to put poison in your spirit against others that's in the church, and it all it does is contaminate you, and it controls you to the point where you don't get to know a person for yourself. You just let someone else tell you who they are and what they are. And I suggest to you, don't allow them to put that junk in your ear. Then you got those that go looking for anyone that will listen to them and tell lies on you and have people seeing you in a whole new light so that the light can continue to shine on them. And then you feel like once you discover all of this, you are spiritually unfit to even serve in the capacity where your gifts are operating. There's too many cliques in the church, and they will try to get to the pastor's good side. And we as pastors have to be very watchful and have discernment, because it's easy to be dragged into the mess. The mess that can cause the church to have all sorts of problems. And the focus is no longer on the purpose of the church, and the leadership has become distracted from his purpose. In other words, the flesh can destroy everyone's spiritual walk with the Lord. And you have to learn to subdue that flesh, and you have to renew that mind. You got to let that mind know that you got the mind of Christ, and that you cannot let someone else tell you how or what to do as far as concerning worshiping and serving the Lord. Pastors should never mix and mingle with their members in that way, because you are setting yourself up for failure. And that is why we got to subdue the flesh. That's why we got to renew the mind. We got to renew the mind to the things that are strictly of God, because the enemy will set us up for failure and destruction. And the Bible says in James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you have those in church who think they are God's gift to the church. They want to be the pastor's favorite, thinking that the church cannot do without them. And they set up territory in the church where they can control things in the church. Either their motive will be to increase it or to tear it down. They feel their talents was if their talents is removed from the church, they feel like the church won't function. And then they put their mouth on the pastor and the church as a whole and whatever deemed necessary to destroy the reputation of the church. That is a person that has self-deception. And it sounds like, pretty much to me, Satan is doing what he does best. And that's to kill, destroy, and rob at his best. But if he's standing on the word of God, if you're serving God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and you worshiping him in spirit and truth, I declare tonight no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and the foundation will stand till the end of time. And the conclusion of the matter is this. Every believer is important, and none is higher than others. And there is a place in the work of God for all the redeemed. The whole work does not rest on the shoulders of one individual. That is why the word says in Ephesians 4:11, he gives some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ. So when you find any church or ministry that has become dependent on gifts and abilities of just one or two individuals, that ministry is in danger and it needs a spiritual overhaul. And please don't let it be favoritism being shown. Because you got other gifts in the body of Christ that can be used to build and edify Christ. And may we learn the truth from Philippians 2, 3 through 5. It says, let nothing be done through the selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4 said, and let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5 said, let the mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And that's why the verse 2 talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And do that which is good, that which is acceptable, and that which is the perfect will of God. And I'm not trying to tell anyone how to run their church operation, but I just want you to be aware of who you are letting run the ministries in your temple. Also, always confer with your Heavenly Father and be prayerful about who you choose. And that is not to say that you will get it right all the time, because you can be deceived, but let it be a lesson for you. The second thing is we got self-depreciation, the opposite of the spectrum of those folks who display a false humility. These are people, when asked to do something in the church, they'll say things like, well, I can't do it, or I don't have any talents, I don't have any ability, I ain't going to do anything. And I call those persons being rebellious, not against the leader, but against God, because they're not happy about certain things in the church. So you should not stop the operation of the church because it's not what you want to do. And a lot of times God gives us all gifts to use in a certain capacity. And if the leader do not identify that you have this gift and utilize that gift, then he's missing out. But then you know what you do? You just dust your feet and find out where you need to be and be where you are wanted, where you are congratulated and not just tolerated. Something was said that sometimes things are said that people don't agree with, and it upsets them. And instead of them going to the pastor and letting him know that there's a problem with something that's going on in the church, they'd rather just walk away. Well, how can that leader correct the things going on in the church if he has no idea? And I'm not saying that he don't have eyes to see, but sometimes he can't see everything. And that's why sometimes we have to let him know, and we have to give him that opportunity to get it straight. And if he don't get it straight then you already know what you need to do. You know that's not the place you need to be. And I know that's not a positive thing to say to someone, but you got to be where you can serve the Lord wholeheartedly and in spirit and in truth and giving all of yourself to him. We got to understand that there is so much confusion that goes on in the churches, like you would not believe. But just remember, Satan is everywhere, especially in the churches, and he has his pick of people who has weakened flesh and corrupt mind, and they will follow the way that he's to them because they have not absorbed the word or really gotten into that relationship with the Lord. Because when you're in a relationship with the Lord, you have a made-up mind who you're going to serve. And your maturity in Christ should be fruitful and prosperous. When the Lord saved you, he gifted you in all areas in your life. 1 Corinthians 12, 5 through 11 says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. See, there are so many gifts that can be used, and everybody don't have all of the gifts. That's why he said he gives some. And whatever gift you have, you can identify it, because it will be what it is that you are drawn in your heart to do. And that's what you should do, because you can't be what somebody else is, and somebody else can't do what you can do. You know, you have some people that can really, really pray. And I might can't pray like them. Or I may not pray the same way or the same manner that they pray. You may have someone that can sing. I don't sing. I don't have a voice to sing. And so we got to understand, whatever our gift is, we got to get busy using it for the glory of God. Because all of the gifts contribute great accomplishment in the church. And one gift is no better than the other gift. They all give, just like I just got through reading to you in this scripture that those scriptures that I read you in 1 Corinthians. But the whole thing is, sometimes we are not comfortable in our gift. Sometimes people may not give us accolades in our gift. But you don't wait for people to give you no accolade, because all the accolades should come from God. And to do less is a slap in the face of God, who saved you by his grace. That's just like my little granddaughter. I prophesied to her. I said, honey, you have the gift of singing. And I would massage her neck with some holy oil. And I would tell her, just sing, sing, sing. The more you sing, the better you're going to sing. And so that's what we have to do. We have to focus on our gifts, and we have to use our gifts as much as we are allowed to use it, so we can be perfected. But see, God will perfect the gift anyway. When we have the right attitude, we can do anything that we desire within reason of our gift. God will perfect that gift. But see, the thing is, we got people that will downplay what the Lord has gifted them to do, because they feel like, well, I'm not going to get the glory. And, you know, people might compliment them, and sometimes they'll act like, well, nothing great was done, because they know they can't get the glory. But see, it is to benefit God and the person that you're sharing it with. And people need your gift, whether you know it or not. People need your gift. Whatever your gift is, somebody needs that gift. Somebody needs that. And that is what the gift is for. It's not for us to give ourselves all the credit or to pat ourselves on the shoulder that I'm good at that. Whatever you do it unto the Lord, and you do it with a welcoming attitude, and be rejoicing in doing it. It's a benefit to God and the people that you share it with. See, a lot of times, if the Lord has used you in your life in a great way, don't deny him the glory, because he's due. And I must admit, I feel good when I know that I have helped someone that is in despair and they needed someone to agree with them in prayer. Not that I'm giving myself the credit that I helped them to overcome their situation. I just give the glory to God that he's used me to be able to give this person what they need or to help this person through whatever they're going through. I have to give God the glory for allowing me to be used. The scripture says to think soberly according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And the word soberly means sanely, intelligently. This verse is teaching us that we need honest assessment of what the Lord has done in our lives. So if he have gifted you in an area, do not become puffed up in that gift. And you know, and I hate to say this, but I hear many leaders say what they've done for the Lord. It's not about them. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about none of us. It's all about building God's kingdom and helping people that's in darkness to come into his marvelous light. So we have to submit our life to the Lord and allow him to use that gift for his glory. We got to subdue that flesh and tell it to die. We got to have the mind of Christ. We got to use the gifts and talents that are in us to edify the church. If he hasn't gifted you in a particular area, then humbly accept that and use the gifts you do have. So many of us are too busy trying to compete with others. Are we trying to be like somebody else? Do that which God has given you, because you can do it the best. That's why God gave it to you, because he knows you are qualified to handle that gift or to utilize that gift in the way that he would be pleased with you using the gift. So whatever you do, do it wholly unto the Lord. So the bottom line here is what I am saying is, that we need to be honest about what the Lord has done for us by his grace. If he has gifted you, just use the gift and let him have the glory. And never think that that makes you better than anyone. I want you to know what God has imparted in you, no devil, no witch, no leader can kill your gift. And I know because I experienced it and I'm still operating in my gift. I want to talk a little bit about grace, because I don't want us to lose sight of the word grace, because this grace, this word reminds us of two important truths. And the first truth is we are saved by grace. We got into this thing the same way, and we all came from the same place. We are washed in the same blood. We are headed to the same heaven. We sing the same song. Regardless of what our respective backgrounds, we are all sinners that God has saved by his marvelous grace. And Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, it tells you, for by grace you have been saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Think again. You or I will never be better than any other believer. God will not see you any different than he see me. He will not love you any more than he loved me. He will not bless you any more than he blesses me. God is not a respectful person, and it may not all be the same blessings due to we all have different needs, but he does not discriminate. He does not have favors. He is a just God, and a God that will never forsake us. The second thing, we are serving by grace. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you and I are living the right kind of life for Jesus Christ, then we will never be any more or any less than he intends for us to be. Whatever your gifts and your talents and your ability, we all have it by grace, and we are to be used for his glory. See, gifts are not given to us so that we can exalt ourselves through them, but they're given so that we may be able to live for God, help somebody, honor Jesus, and glorify the Father as we travel through the world. I want you to know God's grace is active in the life of the believer. Is that and that is which equalizes us with one another. God decides what we do. and what extent we do it. We must be serious with our walk with him, because there is no room for the exercise of foolish pride in the arena of our walk with him. When you look at verse 4, it talks about your place in the body of Christ. You're talking about, I want to talk about the burnout. Because, see, a pastor cannot do it all on his own. The head can't do anything without the body. And I don't care who you are, what you are. Our gifts should be used for the good of the whole body of Christ. This verse draws our attention to the human body to illustrate what a complex creation the human being is. Because, see, our bodies is made up of trillions of cells, over 200,000 bones, and over 600 muscles and specialized systems that cause us to be able to live and function. The body is very diverse, but it is the perfect picture of unity. No part of the body tried to take the office that belonged to another. Each part simply does its intended duty. As a result, the entire body is able to live, function, and enjoy life. In other words, this is what we should be doing. We should be able to live our life and function in the areas of the gifts that we have and enjoy doing it, enjoy life. You can't help nobody if you running around here depressed and sad. Who can you help? You got to be able to operate in your gift, and you got to have the strength to be able to stand, because opposition is going to come against you anytime you're doing anything for the Lord. And that's just a proven fact. That's just the rest of your life. Persecution is not a one-time thing. It's a repeated offense that comes against you. That's how you know when you're doing something right or something good. We are saved individually, and we are gifted by God individually. We are special to God as individual persons. Let's never be ashamed of who we are as individual in the Lord Christ Jesus. Because I want to tell you tonight, he loves you. He died for you. He saved you. Therefore, we must never try to force someone else to conform to our idea of what a Christian is. Because we got to subdue that flesh. And we got to redirect our thoughts. Because our actions have a redirected mind. Because the body is made up of many components, and they all function together successfully. When my eyes see something, it wants to investigate closely. The hand responds by reaching out and lifting the object. When I want to move from one location to the other one, my feet and body respond by moving in the chosen direction. And that's a wonderful integration and cooperation within the human body. And that's why I am so glad that whatever gifts that I do have, I can operate in them, because God has already set the pace. He set the plan. He gifted us with our inner self, and we are very familiar with what our gift is. No one else can impart a gift into you. I hear a lot of apostles and prophets be saying, I want to impart a gift in you. Nobody can impart a gift in you but God. And if they impart the gift in you, how are you going to know how to operate it? That's their gift. That's not your gift. That's not the gift that you've been assigned. And this is flawless mixing and cooperation that should not exist within the body of Christ, Because many believers have come to believe that they can get along just well without other believers. But we all need each other. The head can't do nothing with the body, like I explained to you earlier. We all got to work together, because we got to show the lost that it is good to be a part of the body of Christ. We can't show them that what they're experiencing in the streets is the same thing they're going to come to when they come to the church. That's why he said, not conform to the things of the world. Because, see, many that say they are saved or that they are Christian or that they are in a relationship, they're not fully walking in the Lord. They become intimidated. They keep up confusion. They backbite and they just out of control. And that's how you would know if they are true follower of God, because their fruits is showing who they really are. I like that thing what Angela Maya or whatever her name used to say. She say, if they show you who they are, believe them. And see, the leaders don't want to address the issues, because this might be my biggest tithe in the church. And then you become bound to the mess, and then don't know how to get out of the mess. But this does go on in the church, and the worst thing you can do is let a person pass bound and control your action as a leader. But I challenge you to gear up your faith and tell that tiger, no, you will not disrupt or tear up my church, because when that one leaves, God may send you five more. But you got to have the faith to believe that he will do it. When you allow favoritism and control in the church, you allow the power to control your sermon, what you're going to preach, the function of the church, and then your end result is going to be people are going to leave. Pastors or leaders must refuse to cooperate with their ideas if it's not lining up with the word of God. So we have to watch our pride in the body and our place in the body. I'm prayerful about our leaders sometimes getting the burnout, because it's not an easy task. And that's why it is very important for the body of the congregation to pray for your pastor daily. Then when we look at verse 6, it says to watch your performance in the body. Our call. When we were saved, we all received the gift. At the moment of conversion, you receive the Holy Spirit with him. You also receive your gift to use in the body of Christ. Therefore, there is no need for you to come to God and pray for the Holy Spirit or for any gift from the Spirit. And I hear so many say, I'm going to pray that you receive the Holy Spirit. You have some that say, I'm going to teach you how to have the Holy Spirit. You cannot teach no one how to have the Holy Spirit. They have to ask for the Holy Spirit on their own, and they have to be wanting to have the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of people are scared of the Holy Spirit because there's so much to it. They believe it is so much to it. But if all you have to do is surrender yourself, and God will do the rest. He will impart in you what is needed. He will help you to distinguish the gifts that's in you. He will awaken the gifts in you so that you may operate. You know, sometimes when you find out the gifts you have in you, sometimes it scares you. I know when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues, it kind of scared me because I didn't know I possessed that gift. And all of a sudden, my mouth just started moving and this muzzle, whatever. And I'm like, whoa. But it's a good feeling because, see, those gifts are needed in the body of Christ. And that's why we have to cherish our gifts. We have to protect our gifts. We have to use our gifts wisely. We can't be faking and faking with the gift. We got to really, really, truly accept the gift and use it in honesty and in truth. Because God has given it to you to use in the area that you are gifted with. See, sometimes we think we are in control, and we think that if we don't want to use our gift, then we don't have to. But I'm here to tell you right now, I ran for a long time when God said, you will preach the gospel. I said, not me. I don't even want a husband that preached the gospel. And I ran for the longest. And let me tell you something. God will activate that gift in you. He will cause that gift to be stirred up in you, and you will end up using that gift because God can compel that gift to operate whether you want it to or not. You got to remember, you're not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. If you walk in humble submission to the God, he will reveal his gift to you by giving you the opportunity to exercise that gift for his holiness, for his glory, for the holiness that he will impart in you. As you go through this world, your duty is to simply be what the Lord called you to be. See, there are many that's doing what they want to do, and it's just not working. Because, first of all, it's the flesh operating, and the devil has trapped their mind. That's why Paul is telling us in this chapter to present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's why we got to subdue that flesh. That's why we got to tell it to die. That's why we got to kill that undesirable corruption, dead weight, because it's dead weight. You can't move around like you want to with dead weight. So I say to you tonight, let your gift be what God has given you so that you may expound on the word of God, so you may expand the work of God. And remember to wait on God to open the doors to give you the opportunity for service, because we got to have the right attitude. We got to be, we got to want it. We got to make that choice. We got to be successful in doing the work for Christ. And simplicity is one of the things. And that means with sincerity, free from mental pretense and hypocrisy. In other words, whether it be given or other exercise of the spiritual gift, it must be done with a pure heart. Let us minister for Jesus without thought of ourselves. So many of us want to give ourselves the glory, but it don't belong to you. I'm just sorry to tell you, the glory don't belong to you. Then we got to have diligence with haste, constant effort to accomplish something, persistence, striving to succeed. This refers to seeing the urgency of the moment and reaching out to the best of our ability to make a difference in the lives of others while there is time. And I know someone may be saying, well, what to do, the flesh, renew the mind, got to do with all of these things? Because if you don't have all of these things, you cannot subdue the flesh. And you cannot renew your mind, because all of these will help you to be able to get there. Then the other thing is cheerfulness. This word means with exciting joy and readiness of the mind. We get the English word hilarious from the Greek word. We are being allowed to exercise our gift in the service of God because it should fill our heart with joy and excitement. And this is the main idea, serving God from an excited heart, going to church because you want to, witnessing because you want to, serving Jesus in your area of giftedness because you are excited about being all that the Lord wants you to be. And I just want to tell you, if you do all of these things, you can subdue that flesh. You can renew that mind. You can be just where God wants you to be so you can be rewarded, because you are building a harvest, and that harvest one day is going to be released to you, and it's going to be bigger than what you can even think or act. And I want you to know that all your work is to the glory of God, and your reward is going to be great or greater. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word went forth, that it penetrated our hearts and our minds. And before I go on, I want to offer anyone who don't know you as their Lord and Savior to ask them to come, and ask for forgiveness, that they will receive you, that they will know that you are the Lord of their life, and that they will receive you as the Lord and Savior in their life. Lord, that you will forgive them for all their sins, and that they be cleaned in the righteousness of you. Lord, I thank you, God, for every vessel that heard this word on tonight, that took our time to listen to what you are saying, God, and how to better their lives and how to deal with the issues in their lives, Lord, that they will be conditioned to know already how to go about doing those things that will keep them moving forward in you, Lord. I thank you, God, that the word is embedded so deep in our spirit that we will make a conscious effort to regroup and connect things and correct things in our lives that's out of order. Father in heaven, we don't want to miss our blessings, because we will subdue our flesh and we will renew our mind, and we surely want to keep you in our lives, because we cannot do it without you. Thank you, God, for making the provisions in our everyday lives, enabling us, God, not to yield to the things that will keep us from moving forward. Lord, we ask that you fix what's broken, that you restore relationships, families, marriages, that you will heal sickness, increase finances, and give us hope, that we will give hope to others. Lord, thank you for allowing us to step into our own territories that you have paid for us, that we will be able to step into our destiny and the path that you have set for us. God, release to us everything that is ours and that you have already restored and put away for us, God, at the appointed time. Lord, and I just ask you, God, to fix our hearts and our minds, God, that we may be of service to you and your people, God. Father, help us in the areas that we are weak, and strengthen us, God. And Father, we pray right now, whatever we are struggling with, may it be finance or health problems or relationship, God, that you will override the struggle, God, and you will bring it to your marvelous light, your marvelous blessing, Lord, that you would uproot anything that's holding us down, God, that we may be set free, God, and we will be able to move forward in the things of you, God. Father, we know nothing is too hard for you, and we ask that you do it right now in the name of Jesus. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And we just thank you, God, and we praise you, and we love you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. I'm going to open up the phone line. I think I said enough. If somebody else has something they want to add or something they want to share, we would be more than glad to open up the line and let you share what you have to share. The call in number is 657-383-0086. I thank that person that's in the chat room. I thank you so much that you have joined us, and I pray that something was said to bless you, to help you to be able to become a kingdom populator, that you will be able to excel in everything that you do, that you speak, that you desire. When you call that number, or if you're already on the line, just press 1 and it will bring you in queue, and we will bring you in, and we will be glad to hear what it is you have to share with us. And I pray, God, that there is something that you want to add to what I may have missed. Or if you have a question about anything that I spoke about in the lesson, you're more than welcome to ask the question. I don't know everything. I can learn. And I don't call myself so highly anointed that I know it all, because I don't. But if no one has anything that they would like to say, I just want to say to you that tonight is Tuesday and it's the early part of the week, and I pray that you have a blessed week the rest of the week. I pray that you will stay dry, because it looks like here in Houston we're having a lot of rain. And just be careful on the road, and have a pleasant day at work and accomplish something. Oh, somebody is raising their hand. Okay, I'm going to call out the three numbers and, well, I'm going to call out the last four numbers, 5444. You're on.
Hey, peace and blessing with you, Populous Pastor Kane.
Yeah, how you doing, Prophet Andre?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
It's been a long time since I've heard you on here.
Yeah, I know,
welcome,
right?
Welcome you. I thank you so much for joining us. What's on your mind?
It's definitely a blessing to be here. And, you know, that definitely was a lesson that needed to be released out there, you know, because I feel like that, you know, us as believers, members or followers of God or workers in this kingdom, we need to realize that sometimes we can get sidetracked by our ego, and we're really getting away from, you know, not being so biased that when it comes, we all left for a church and the purpose in the church or wherever we ministering out or evangelizing out in the streets, that we shouldn't be impartial, you know. Real talk, if God treated us like we treat each other, then we will be such trouble. We were once in that position, and there's a lot of people that want to come and fellowship and really follow God, but sometimes us that has been what you call seasoned believers, we forget that we were once in that position too as well. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And people, our job is that we have lost sight of getting the love, have a love for God's people, because God smiles on us even more when we love our brother and sister. You know, even said that, how could you love me but don't love your brother that's next to you, that you can see, you can share your love, that God share his love to you, that you can share that same love to one another. So, it's a lesson that was definitely need to be taught. It's time for us to come back to get into God's business and put that nonsense to the side, because, you know, if you want to be real about it, we are one click, you know, because we are connected to that one vine, that the blood of Christ, and that one vine of God's kingdom, you know.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something, Prophet. Do you believe that's because it needs to come from the head, showing that, it's displaying that to his members? I mean, because you're going to have some in there that's not going to love, you know, that's just going to do whatever they want to do, because they don't realize that they are really being used by the enemy. And because they haven't been delivered from all of that, and I think that pastors supposed to display that to the body so that that can be a congregation that's showing what the pastor is displaying. But if the pastor don't show the love, if the pastor don't let his pride slow down, I think sometimes it might come from the head. I do.
Yeah, and you're totally right, because it said that a house divided cannot stand. But a house cannot stand anyway if it's not centered under a foundation. You know, I mean, in a lot of levels, you know, like in 2 Timothy where it was talking about if you wanted to be an overseer, you know, meaning, you know, you're running the church, you're the head, you're the shepherd, or the watchman of the hour, right? So, not only should most leaders exemplify the same thing, because most people are going to follow about what the shepherd's doing because he's the watchman of the hour of souls, you know, not saying he's God, but he is the facilitator. And each and every Sunday or Wednesday or whenever there's some type of gathering where we all walking in the kingdom, that, you know, it should be taught. But then on the other hand, it's a lot of people that's acting as what you call agents, and they're agents for the devil, and they came to divide. Maybe some leaders are afraid to lose their members, but if they don't
like
get them the correction,
like I said earlier,
they might lose some members, but you got to think about it. It's either this way or that way. If you're not with what God's got going on, then you're what the devil got going on, or the resistance to what God got going on, you know. And it's a time to really pick a side, because you can't be hot and cold. You'll be lukewarm. But certain situations calls for you to be hot. Certain situations call for you to be cold. The main thing is who, at the end of the day, who are you riding with? Are you riding with God says and following the rules? We're human, so we're not going to completely follow rules, but that's why, you know, the sacrifice of Jesus was so we can be redeemed for that, because now all we have to do is ask forgiveness. But some people haven't forgiven themselves, so they're bitter. You know what I mean? So basically, the heads really got to lead the people. I hate to say it, but if you're working for God and you're building the kingdom, you don't want the new members or the new people who are coming to Christ newly and freshly to get discouraged from that. You know, obviously it's just too much sitting in the church and not sending those who are seasoned believers out into the field, so they wouldn't have time to be bored and come up with things or allow the devil to use them. See, the more harder we work in the kingdom, the less time we have for the foolishness.
I think
go ahead.
No, I was supposed to say maybe they afraid or intimidated that that person might outshine them. I see that a lot too, and that's from my own experience of churches that I've been in.
But this is the thing, Pastor Cain. It's all God's shine anyhow.
Yeah, he gets the glory.
Well, we filthy rags trying to get to the same place as in the kingdom of God. We're all trying to get to heaven. We're all seeking to get to heaven. So whether we got a little shine or a big shine, we can't get sidetracked by being a great and powerful person of God, because end of the day, we all believe it's trying to get to heaven.
But that's what people flock to. They flock to popularity and name. If you're not out there, people don't want to deal with you because, I don't know, it's not enough excitement or maybe, you know, like people tell me, say, I preach hard. You know, you need to let up a little bit. And I say, you're telling me to quit God? That's what you're telling me, to quit God. It ain't
and a
about
person
me.
Doesn't have it.
Anyway.
And the person doesn't have a right to tell you that. See, because what God put into you is what he put into you, and he chose to use you in that way. You know, and that's the thing. And the craziest thing that no wonder that it's a limited amount of people that so say is going to get accepted into heaven. And I'm not saying, but if a person don't get their heart right and forget about themselves and let God actually come into their life, then when you come to God, when it's time to review your life and what you did in your life, would you really get accepted by the life you live, or would you get accepted because you preach good, or you had a lot of members, or you saved a lot of souls? No. You get accepted to heaven by believing in Jesus and let Jesus be in your heart and guide and direct you.
Yeah.
See, because acceptance comes, you know, the easy part is accepting Jesus. The hardest part is living the lifestyle
living life
with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
living for Jesus.
You know.
Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a war, but we as believers got to keep on pushing to be the best that we can be every day, because every day we should look to recorrect ourselves so we wouldn't get too egotistical to allow ourselves to let Satan use us. I'd rather be used by Satan.
Yeah, that's right.
But I got to also know, too, that I have faults that I'm going to have to get right with God, you know?
Yes.
And that change comes just
well,
like...
I think we all got areas that can probably use some improvement. I mean, there's no such thing that you're holy and pure. That's Jesus is holy and pure. But, you
mm-hmm.
know, we all got areas we have to work on. See, because what we have to remember, that opposition going to always be against us, persecution going to always be against us, and all the time we might not be in a position where we heartily accept that Christ-like, because we got this flesh, and it's
mm-hmm.
a part of us every day, every hour, every minute, every second. It's a part of us. And that's why we got to subdue that thing. When
we
the moment we realize that it's out of control, we got to speak to that flesh and tell it, you got to die. And then we got to clean out our inner spirit with all of those things that cause us to react in the flesh. So we got to
renew
our mind at the same time.
Exactly. And you know something? If we want something to discriminate against, we should discriminate against that flesh. We should discriminate against that manly man that think he's greater than thou.
Right.
Because if we don't get that in check, then we're going to look and find faults in anybody else. But until we look into the mirror and see ourselves, we're never going to find a fault in ourselves. And we got to start with ourselves. We got to start with ourselves. And once we start with ourselves, it will show. Our light will shine. And then it'll be time for us to show examples to those who maybe are not walking, don't say straight and narrow. But through that example of the things that how God moving our life, how God blessing our life, if we show that to our brother and sister, we might get a little hating going on.
Mm-hmm.
But when they see their progress through hating, and then they start developing the same aspect, then they start to show that God's really moving in the room. you know, because we got to lift each other up, and that's what we got. That's what we have got away from. We got away from deeply interceding with each other. You know, we see a sinful person coming in for the first time in the church. You know, they don't really know the ropes of how they should conduct themselves in church, but they are feeling the spirit and the atmosphere. We gotta reach out and grab and hug them and just love them for no reason. See, because God loves us for no reason. They will be more willing to accept it rather than run away from it, you know?
Yeah, but that's one of the things I always have said. Unloving people is the ones that you really love, you should love the most. Because we already know that somebody done did something to them, or they just might have that within them that you just got to condition them by loving them. Because,
exactly.
You know, people have been, somebody, they might have backbiting, or they may have betrayed them. And sometimes when you just have been done that so much, it's hard for you to you know, think about love. Because everything you always known has been unloving.
Right. And that's why it's important for the church to be established. See, because the church is supposed to teach us how not only to love God, but love our brothers and sisters and help each other with that same love to build each other up. See, because if we stand together in God's kingdom, ain't no devil and damn dark or shadow corner would be able to break that apart. You know what I'm saying? They can't break it apart anyway because they own, first of all, is not long enough to box with God. But if we interject that on a fleshly level, if we interject that on this fleshly level, but in a spiritual mind rather than a carnal mind, oh, man, I'm talking about we going to break down the walls of hell.
That's why if you subdue that flesh, you can beat the devil out.
Exactly.
Because you are in control of your flesh.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of times we say the devil made me do it. No, the devil, it ain't all the time the devil. It's that old devilish flesh you wing.
And it started with the most powerful thing God ever gave us, is choice. But you got to first choose. Once you choose, you can't lose. I'm standing strong on that, believe me. Nobody can't tell me different.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, I'm going to go ahead and close out. I got grandkids. I got to get ready for to go to bed so they can go to school in the morning. I appreciate everybody. The call is 3523. God bless you. And I'm so glad that you joined in with us tonight. And I pray that something was said to bless you. And you already know that God loves you. And He's about to do some great things for you, honey. I'm reminded about that song about I almost gave up. But God said he ain't going to let you give up. He said because he done worked too hard to put together what he has to release to you. And if you give up, he said he still won't give it to somebody else. It'll just prolong your time for getting it because he wants you to be in the right position to be able to receive it, because it's been a long time waiting. And I know sometimes you have felt like, you know, God just ain't going to do it. But we got to remember, it's God's time. It's not our time. And he knows the best time for whatever we need. And, you know, I used to hear the old folks say this all the time. And I never, you know, I couldn't wrap it around my head what they meant by that. They say he may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. And that is such a true thing. And I stand by that, and I suggest to you, caller, that you stand by that too, because he don't come. He's not a liar. He don't go back on his word, and he's not an Indian giver. And so I just want you to be encouraged.
Yeah, at all. I got one more thing to interject with that. God is never an Indian giver. It's us that prolong blessings become in effect, because he want us, right? He want us to get in a certain position. And once we get to that position, the blessings are already there. We just haven't stepped in that position because we're walking more backwards at times than forward, because we looking at what it looks like, you know, and what it looks like ain't always what it is. But what it is, we need to choose rather than lose. I'm going to end it on that.
Yeah, that is so true. I'm writing something to my person in the chat room, and then I'm going to go ahead and go off, but I appreciate all of you, and I'm glad we got through this, and next Tuesday I'll be back. All right, person in the chat room, this is for you, and I just want you to be blessed and know that God loves you so very much. I appreciate you so very much. And I thank you for your patience. All right, well, if there be nothing else, may God just bless each and every one of us, that he will overtake us with his peace, his love, his joy, his healing, his finances. God got it all. All we have to do is just make our request known unto him, and he will release and he will deliver. And some things I be saying, okay, this is a 911, God. he do respond to that 911. When I tell him 911, it spares me some time. He comes through so fast. But just stay focused and know that God loves y'all. And I'm going to go on and sign out. And y'all have a blessed night, a peaceful night, a good sleeping night tonight. And may God just bless y'all. I'm Prophet Shirley Cain with When to Walk with Jesus Ministry. And I just want to say good night to you. Good night to you. And be blessed.
Amen.